And here we are at the gate of the year. I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, "Give me a light that I may tread safely into the unknown." And he replied, "Go into the darkness and put your hand into the hand of God. That shall be to you better than light and safer than a known way." So I went forth, and finding the hand of God, trod gladly into the night. He led me toward the hills and the breaking of day in the lone east. So heart, be still. What need our human life to know, if God hath comprehension? In all the dizzy strife of things, both high and low, God hideth his intention. Those words were penned by Minnie Louise Harkins and were spoken by King George VI during his broadcast to the British nation in 1939. That was a time of great uncertainty. And while those words convey a great deal of truth, God does not hide his intentions. And we find that in chapter 3, verse 7 of the book of Amos. God warns us of the consequences of our actions. He explains to us that obedience to him will bring blessings, and that following the wrong way will lead to the other extreme of hardship and terrors. As a loving God, he guides and encourages all who will be obedient to him. So today, in the time which I have, I'd like to encourage us all to look beyond the here and now with all its threats and worries, because we should be trusting God to deliver us from all of our problems, no matter what terrors the future may hold. And as I said, we're reading in Amos chapter 3, and beginning in verse 7, we read the following words: "Surely the eternal God," or the Lord eternal, "will do nothing, but he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets." Now, the coming year promises to be one of unprecedented problems. The daily news analysis that appears on a church website should make us all aware that nothing is as it should be. All those areas of stability that we have become used to are being eroded. Indeed, it's probably more accurate to say that all those areas of stability that we've become used to have been completely eroded. Every facet of military, commercial, or mercantile life is under unbearable strain, and should, by all reasonable thoughts, all sane reasoning, have collapsed long before now. In the book of Isaiah, the fall is described as a sudden happening, the high wall falling. That is found in chapter 30 and verse 12. So we should not be surprised when the whole edifice comes tumbling down. In the book of Deuteronomy, God warned Israel that if we would not listen to him, to obey him, then all these curses would befall us, all those curses that were in the book, in that particular chapter. And that was chapter 28 and verse 15, and to the end of the chapter. A similar warning was found in Leviticus chapter 26, again beginning at verse 15. However, if one begins at the beginning of each of those chapters in verse 1, we find out what would happen if we obeyed God. It would bring blessings unlimited. The trouble is, in general, people no longer accept that the word of God is reliable. And that leads us to the present situation in which we find ourselves today. Even professing Christians doubt the veracity of God's word. There is a tendency to question biblical statements, and by extension, to question the reliability of God himself. I would like you to turn with me to Luke chapter 18 and beginning in verse 7. I'm breaking into the context here. Jesus had just spoken the parable of the unjust judge, and that led to a very interesting question. We live in a generation that questions everything, except it would appear the belief of evolution. Disbelief abounds everywhere, particularly with religion and particularly the Christian belief. And so beginning in Luke chapter 18 and verse 7, we read the following: "And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, "When the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth?" Now, last week, Mr. Bowles was speaking about unbelief in his sermon. The Bible is filled to overflowing with the miraculous deliverances that the people of God have experienced. The people Israel saw them, and the people of God have experienced them over the years. We know that God not only can deliver us, but that he will deliver us from all adversity. There is always a way of escape. And in the first book of Corinthians, it says, "No temptation has taken us, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, and who will not suffer us to be tempted above that which we are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that we may be able to bear it." That was found in 1 book of Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. No matter what happens during the coming weeks and months, we have this promise. It is a bankable promise. It is a promise which is being given to us by Christ. And remember, it is also written that God is not slack concerning his promises. Throughout the scriptures, we have been given a brief, if at times a somewhat sketchy account of what the future holds for us. True, we have the explanations, the road signs as it were, but the minor events appear to elude us. In the Olivet Prophecy, Jesus described the world conditions that would precede his second coming. We can see all these events coming to fruition. The fig tree is putting forth its leaves, and the coming summer is nigh. In Luke chapter 21 and verse 28, we will turn there, we are told that when we see these events coming to pass, then the kingdom of God is near at hand. We don't have much further to go. The road may be rocky, and there may still be some surprises, but God's plan is running according to God's schedule. And in Luke chapter 21 and verse 28, we read the following. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draws nigh. We should be watching world events and the events in the world around us, but we should not be unduly worried or overly concerned by them. What we must realize is that we have been given a copy of God's plan. It involves the return of Christ, the first resurrection, the putting away of Satan, the first and second resurrections, and then, as Mr. Armstrong so poignantly put it, we come to the beginning. There are no terrors that can separate us from God. That is a promise that is found in the Bible and a promise from Scripture. So long as we place our hand in the hand of God, in the knowledge that it shall be to each of us better than a lamp and better and safer than a known way. It takes faith. It requires us to stay close to God in daily prayer. No matter what happens in the coming year, we must remember that all things work together to the good of them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. And that is found in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. We are at the beginning of the year that promises to deliver catastrophe primarily to the English-speaking nations, but to the whole world as a fact. The Israelite nations have forsaken their God for gods which are not gods at all. Our people have relied upon their own wisdom, claiming themselves to be wise and proclaiming themselves to be wise and showing themselves to be completely fallible. We have to remember that God has revealed his intentions to his servants, the prophets. There is the question of faith. Will it be found when Christ returns? But if we stay close to God and true to him, we will have that faith. We have to remember that our redemption draws nigh. It is a promise. It is coming closer day by day. These are not some pleasant platitudes. These are promises of Jesus Christ himself. We must remember that we must stay close to God and put our hand into the hand of God for the safety and comfort that we need during these coming days. And we have to remember that we are standing at the gate to a year that promises to be a truly momentous year. We are living in the momentous times, and we are standing at the gate of the year.